Hi.
Hi, welcome to Song Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, usually track by track. But today we're actually doing the introduction to
Vonnegutta by Björk.
And before we get into the album, Jesse here wants to talk about some missed opportunities.
Yeah, I was just wondering, did we talk about the hidden syncopation of Radiohead's videotape? And yeah, how the rhythms are unconventional, and how the piano is played on the upbeat and creates the illusion that it is being played on the downbeat?
Yeah, because we saw that video on YouTube where they talked all about it.
Okay. Oh, but also on that past episode we just listened to, I sounded quite insensitive about how my biological grandfather just passed, but I didn't really know him, and most of what I've heard about him is not very good, so I just wanted to clarify.
I feel like you just made it worse.
Alright.
Okay. Okay, well, let's talk about first impressions, but before that, I wanted to ask you, have you ever had your heart broken?
Yes.
When was that?
Some time ago, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
What about you, though?
Yeah.
When was that?
It's been a few times.
A few.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just this guy I was seeing, and he was acting a fool.
Hopefully he made up for it at some point.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Okay. All right, tell us a little bit about your first impression of this album.
Vonnegutta was cool. How she went back to strings. So it seems like a more mature, homogenic.
Hmm.
And it was also surprising to see Björk have such a personal and vulnerable album that involves personal pain and heartbreak.
Because usually it's more abstract.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
She doesn't like to get personal.
Yeah, because she's a very private person.
Yeah.
The way she talks to reporters.
Yeah, and then I was also surprised how the track list may seem short, but the songs are impressively long, and not in the way where you're, like, wondering if it'll ever end, because you're on this journey with her.
Kind of like an opera.
Yeah, it's kind of like that episode of Friends where Ross and Rachel fight about being on a break the whole time, without the comedic bits.
You're such a Chandler.
You're such a Monica.
Fine.
And that's why we're together.
I'll take that. Oh, yeah. They end up together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, bitch.
You're a bitch. It basically explores her feelings pre-breakup and post-breakup, as well as the healing process. And it's the most relatable album in her discography.
Really?
It's one of the rare moments she's bare to her... her soul. And shown her more humanistic side.
I'll bet.
Björk, she's just like us, you know?
I can't get the image of her showing her whole, well, her whole out of my head.
To give you some help in understanding this album, there's some keywords you gotta know. It's confessional, victimhood.
Wait, these are keywords for who?
If you really need help listening to this album, if you need to understand what it's all about.
I see. Okay.
So it's confessional, victimhood, leader songs, which are,
what
art,
are those?
Those are art songs written for a solo voice and piano accompaniment. I think it's like German.
Moss.
Oh. Moss Tundra, yeah. And his Greek tragedy update.
Man-woman conflict. That's a little on the nose.
Chamber orchestra.
Lavender wax.
This is their shopping list.
Is it supposed to be lavender and then wax?
No, it's lavender wax. I don't know. Maybe it's...
I don't know her.
Used for healing in some places? I don't know.
Okay.
But there's also the ritual of mourning, sewing, wound, recovery narrative, heartbreak.
Shock. And...
neon yellow lava.
I like that. I like the image that conjures up in my head. Neon yellow lava.
I'm DJ Neon Yellow Lava. Okay.
All right, let's talk about the context that this album was created in, sort of the emotional and biographical backdrop.
Yeah, so after she released Biophilia and had her whole Biophilia era, Bjork finished touring and promoting a science and the music hybrid education all around the world. And I was wondering if any of those children that experienced that were impacted and where they are today.
That's fine when I bring them on the podcast.
If they remember any of that. Anyway, all the while this was happening, she was secretly dealing with problems in her relationship with Matthew Barney.
Yeah, he claimed that Bjork was to blame for the breakup and that she had a self-focused mindset regarding their daughter.
Shade. And then the court filings indicate he sought more time with their daughter, claiming she wanted to spend equal time with both parents.
Oh, so Bjork had, like, a bigger percentage of custody?
Yeah.
Her daughter has said that therapy helped her cope with her parents' separation.
Yeah, that's good.
Lucky for her, she's able to go.
Yeah.
Not everybody can just, you know, go to therapy.
Well, to top that all off, Bjork was also experiencing more throat problems, like we've talked about before. And so she had to have vocal surgery in 2012.
So after she finished recording this?
No, before.
Before. Her mother had a heart attack as well, and her longtime collaborator... Did her mother die?
No.
Okay. So her mother had a heart attack, and Mark Bell passed away, who obviously she's worked with throughout her career.
So, yeah.
What do you want to say about that?
Couldn't catch a break, I guess. Well, while channeling her pain into the music... Bjork drew inspiration from the Swedish miniseries Scenes from the Marriage.
Have you seen that?
Have you?
Mm-mm. Oh. I never even heard of it.
Mm.
She also said that her previous two albums were like Japanese films, which are more focused on the environment, and this one is like a European film because it's more psychological. I can see that.
Yeah. So she started reading a self-help book that was endorsed by Oprah, and... maps out the grief process. She won't reveal the title, though. I guess I'd be kind of embarrassed too. I'll just tell you, like, I'm just reading a self-help book, and that's all you need to know. But it was given to her by her friend Jonasson, and Bjork felt the need to chronicle the different phases of her relationship, so to justify her declining of her relationship to justify her self-pity.
Thank you very much.
You know, because in the sleeve, the lyrics say 1 month before, yeah. 2 months after.
People write about that a lot.
Yeah. Because...
some people say that it shouldn't have been so literal, you know? Like, you should just let the audience sort of experience it. And then people said that it was...
I guess.
What is that head movement?
I don't know.
And she said that she likened the process. Is it the process of divorce? The process of breaking up?
Yeah, the whole grief process.
To the song Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. Who sings that?
Oh, I forgot.
Okay. And how when you have this scar on your heart, but you're on the dance floor and you're ecstatic and, you know, both are equally true.
Yeah, the salvation comes through the pain and through the light that follows. So, this album basically kicked off her healing trilogy, because then you have Utopia and Fossora afterwards, and they discuss some of the same topics. So it's going through hell and coming out the other end. We've all been there.
It's in deep.
I'm sorry, what's... Oh, last night a DJ saved my life.
Yeah, in deep. Let's take a listen.
That makes me think of production and creation on this album. How she made the album.
Well, she started writing the songs in her home in Iceland.
Yeah, she originally planned not to show anyone the songs she'd written at the time, but she decided showing this side of herself would be the right thing to do.
And during this time, she recorded original vocals for a Death Grips project called...
The Powers That Be.
A.K.A.
I forgot. Well, Bjork approached Ark... I'm sorry, what?
Niggas on the Moon.
Oh, that one. Well, Bjork approached Arca, who had worked with Kanye and FKA Twigs prior to that, and then to work on her album after her manager showed her Arca's mixtape. Ampersand. That's five ampersands. Anyway, they spent...
So basically, Bjork's manager showed her Arca's mixtape, and Bjork was like, I want to work with her. So they started working together.
Yeah, they were like...
Let's do it.
I need that immediately. You know.
What did Arca get in return?
Everything.
The experience.
Yeah, anyone would kill to have that. Yeah. And she got it. So, good for her.
She also worked with Haxan Cloak, a.k.a. Bobby Krillick, also known as... Wait, who also scored Midsommar Beef, which you enjoyed.
Yes.
Him and Anemone, which we saw.
No...
We didn't?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of Parthenope, the one from
today.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he's an up-and-coming composer.
And how did she meet him?
Through her friend, Robin Carlin.
We listened to some Haxan Cloak today. What did you think about it?
It's nice.
Yeah, I like it.
And if that wasn't enough, she also got to work with one of her idols, Arvo Part's son, Michael Part. Well, her idol was Arvo Part, but she got to work with his son, okay. Michael Part, who recorded the strings. Bjork worked on the album in Reykjavik, London, New York, and the Caribbean.
Who's Arvo Part? I'm sorry to be naive.
He's an Estonian composer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Spiegel and Spiegel. You know that?
Okay. Tell me about the sound of the album. What does it sound like?
Well, it sounds like cinematic strings, and you have Arca's production, and those are the only consistent elements of this album. It's deep, ethereal, and emotional.
Many consider it one of her heaviest works in terms of sound. Sometimes being described as abrasive, like a gut punch, but never offensive. What?
Gut punch. You just accept it, because that's the way life is sometimes.
Accept what? She wanted to use strings for all the songs because she wanted to represent the timelessness of heartbreak. That's a nice sentiment.
Yeah.
Because it's true, when you hear the strings, you think of, like, you know, Mozart and...
Right.
You know, history.
And she felt strings resonated with nerves in the human body.
Can see that too.
Yeah. She said writing for strings was a good way to keep her mind busy after breaking up. She said, I decided to become a violin nerd and arrange everything for 15 strings and take a step further.
Wow. Like you. You did that.
Yeah, I tried to play violin.
Yeah, you turned into a violin nerd for a while.
Yeah.
She said she was also influenced by Russian composer Vladimir Martynov. You know him?
No. Should we check it out?
Yeah. So what's this album about?
Well, if you're wondering about the album title, Funi Cura, it's Latin for cure for wounds, which is like fullness and cura.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So it's just accepting the darkness is the only way to see the light.
Wait, what does it have to do with...
Are you ready to accept the darkness?
What does that have to do with something curing like the wounds?
Satanist recruiters would say. Accepting the darkness is the only way to see the light.
How does that... What does that have to do with cure for wounds?
You just have to accept it.
Okay.
Well, if you want to see the light, if you don't accept it, it's going to be harder to see the light. You understand what I'm saying?
Have you accepted the light as your personal Lord and Savior?
I've also accepted the darkness.
The photography was done by Inez and Vinud, and they said it was based on a video of a spider molting out of its own skin and becoming translucent and then filling up with color again.
Wow. We just watched Arachnophobia, so I don't know about that.
This is a dumb movie.
Björk's headpiece...
But people love it.
Yeah. Björk's headpiece on the cover is designed by Maiko Takeda.
Can you describe this headpiece?
It's like...
It's like a dandelion.
It looks like... Oh, yeah, a dandelion.
You know that you blow...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like she got shot with a bunch of arrows and she's just like, are you serious right now?
Or she's like dressed up like COVID.
Yeah, like a bacteria.
Yeah,
virus,
or a virus
thing. So many interpretations. Well, Björk said it's a symbol of forgiveness. So, wow, we were way off. I don't know how, but... I don't know. She just said it. She said, you're in pain, but the only way to move forward emotionally is through forgiveness. I agree. Because, you know, when you don't forgive...
Then you resent, and then it just... It makes your life worse.
You're just... Yeah. So yeah. When you forgive, you're just letting yourself off the hook.
Okay. That too. The ring that she's wearing is designed by Staskwaskas. How do you say it?
I don't know. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And it's called the Wound Upon Wound Ring. Wow. Where was she shopping at? Like? Hot Topic.
You can't even make it out. I can't. Like.
No, it's like a minute detail.
Yeah.
All this, so...
And then the latex suit with the heart wound was designed by Syrian Couture, who also did Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman costume.
I loved that.
Yeah.
That was my awakening.
Your gay awakening?
Yes, for Batman Returns. She's sassy. So it's very S&M also. And I feel like she wore that because heartbreak can be like bondage. Mm. Right?
Yeah. Especially if you feel like you're trapped in something and you...
Your emotions.
No, you're trapped in a relationship.
Oh. Yeah.
But you also can't leave. So it's like...
Well, I don't know.
Tell me. Sing it, sister.
I think because heartbreak is like torturing yourself. And so it kind of shares similarities. There's probably some correlation between S&M and heartbreak.
Yeah.
Anyways,
pain is the correlation.
That was probably just her thing at the time she got into. Anyway, it's giving new thigh gap and leg extension. Who dis? That's her divorce look. You know how people have divorce looks?
Yes.
A makeover?
They just look like two, like, sausages in a latex.
Burnt sausages. Burnt, shiny sausages. Anyways, Bjork said that the yellow color scheme was meant to represent emergency healing.
What's that?
It's like, well, you gotta heal right away. But, it's an emergency.
But why is that yellow?
I don't know. Maybe the yellow and I
okay.
No, because here in America,
go on.
The yellow light means slow down. It's like cautionary.
Okay.
Be careful. So she's just like emergency healing, though.
Okay.
Anyway, the art design was by M.M. Paris, and apparently the font was made to look like a damaged version of the Vespertine font, and it made references to embroidery as well. So much thought put into this.
There's also a secondary cover created by Andrew Thomas Huang that is CGI, where she looks like a stone figure doing the Exorcist spider walk. Or the, what did we see with, just the other day with that, the old woman in the diner goes up into the ceiling?
Oh, I don't know what that was called, something on Pluto TV.
No, but it was a horror movie.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
The End of the Times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, as far as visuals go, only Kyoto ushered in Bjork's virtual reality era.
She dropped that like a hot potato.
She did. She does that.
What's the next shiny thing she found after virtual reality? Is that...
Oh.
Fungus.
I'm surprised she didn't go to space with Katy Perry. You know?
I wouldn't be surprised if we never saw Bjork again.
Or maybe she'll come out with an album and she'll do a bunch of concerts and she'll be surprised, y'all, it was all AI.
I thought you were going to say she was going to do a concert in space.
That too.
I feel like she's going to, at some point you're never going to see her again. She's just going to be an avatar.
She's going to go to space and she's going to let AI take over the work. I don't know.
I feel like she would create an AI of herself and send it to space.
That too.
What else?
Well, so we have some drama.
Okay.
After she finished Fonikura, Bjork decided to put out an exhibition of her career at MoMA in New York in collaboration with Klaus Biesenbach.
Why is that drama? You think everything's drama.
I know.
Volnicker was supposed to be released in March to coincide with the exhibition opening. You went to that exhibition, didn't you?
Yeah.
But it got leaked 2 months earlier, so Bjork had to jump on the surprise album drop trend and pull a Beyonce.
Yeah, the same thing happened to Madonna before she released Rebel Heart, so... The Holy Trinity... yeah, they actually wanted to do her exhibit in 2000, but she was like, what? No. And then...
Why?
And then she released her biophilia stuff, and the curator saw that, and he was like, oh, hell no. Like, how are you gonna put your stuff all up in a museum and create it by yourself and not consult?
Yeah.
Like, not, you know?
Yeah.
So, he was like, bitch, we're doing your career exhibit. Don't say no to me. She's like, ah, fine, fuck it, I guess.
But I thought she wanted to do it.
I don't think, because she was just like more about, she wants it to be more about the music than the visuals.
Mm. And
she was like, how do you put up like music in a museum setting.
Yeah.
She's like, whatever. But anyway, she wasn't too upset about that leak, since the mixing of the album was already finished, or the mastering, I meant, by the time of the leak, so she could release it ahead of schedule.
Have you ever had anything leaked?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Björk said that people responded to the album by opening up about their own heartbreak, and she was happy that people didn't think it was too self-indulgent, and she liked that it helped with people's healing.
Yeah, saving Save lives. Your,
saving your lives. One album at a time.
Yes. So, after this released...
Tell me.
Vonikura spawned other projects like the Vonikura Strings Project, where she uses a viola organista that was designed by Leonardo da Vinci.
The actual one?
Maybe.
Wow.
Crazy. We'll find out next episode.
If you remember when we went to that, maybe it was a Mozart museum, but they had all those like different musical instruments.
In Milan?
Yeah, that was Milan.
The music museum?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Would you go in if you had access to all those instruments and just...
Just touch them?
And try them? Them?
Yeah. Yes. Are fun. You kidding me?
There were some crazy looking ones.
There were. I would touch them all.
Rub them all over yourself?
Yes. Yeah, she also had a remix project for the album and an exhibit called Björk Digital
that focused... It was different from the exhibit?
Yeah.
From the retrospective?
Because this was a couple years afterwards. So she got addicted to the whole museum thing, I guess. And that focused on her VR work and showed in cities all over the world.
Did you see that?
I did. It was, I went to the one in LA and... I don't know. It felt like I was just there for a couple of hours.
Okay.
And you just put on the headset and watch a bunch of music videos, and then it's like, now what? I just go back home.
You want to like jump out of a cake? This album was nominated for a Grammy. For Best Alternative Music Album at the 2016 Grammy Awards. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
I know. She don't care. Breakup. But you know, breakup albums are nothing new in the world of pop music, and they're still going strong. You know, Lily Allen, she just released a... Have you heard about this?
I have, with David Harbour.
Yeah, and she released it. It's called West End Girl. And everyone is talking about it.
Okay. Sex toys, butt plugs, loop inside. Hundreds of Trojans, you're so fucking broken. How'd I get caught up in your double? The album's visuals have inspired other artists to incorporate VR in their work, like 2 Chainz, Mac DeMarco, Megadeth, and the Gorillaz.
Yeah, Vonikura even influenced my sine wave breakup album, Cyan Noise.
Why'd you call it that?
Why did I call it Cyan Noise? Because I felt like it was like a blue period for me. And so I just looked up different words for blue or different types of blue, and cyan came up, and I was like, cyan wave.
But why the noise? I thought you were just like reflecting back on...
Because you know, white noise... Pink noise.
Okay.
So
thanks for explaining it.
Like, I don't know. I really like white noises and sine waves. Thank you.
That's kind of racist. What else is going on? I don't know where we are.
I don't know. I didn't know you went to a party with Bjork.
Oh, yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, she was in her full dandelion headdress, and I was dressed like I was going to the gym. So tell me about the year that this album was released.
2015? That was a transitional time in music, with different eras and genres coexisting.
Like?
Well, I remember Kalela.
Oh, yeah, you remember? You remember her, but you can't pronounce her.
She released her first EP, Hallucinogen, and it features collaborations with Arca. And then also Tame Impala.
Tame.
She released...
Tim. I don't know her. Tammy Impala.
That would be a good drag name.
I bet if we watch Life After Lockup long enough, there'll be a Tammy Impala there.
They released their album Currents, and then Coachella was also going downhill with headlines like AC/DC, Jack White, and Drake. And then Beck shocked the world when he won the Grammy for Best Album, beating out Beyonce.
Wait, this is all stuff that was happening musically?
Yeah.
And then Radiohead made a song for the James Bond film Spectre, but they were replaced by Sam Smith. I think Radiohead would have been a better fit.
That's what I'm saying, but they thought it was too dark.
But the movie's really dark. Okay.
Hollywood. Well, other winners... included Sam Smith.
Other winners of Grammys?
Included Sam Smith.
Aphex Twin, St. Vincent.
Yeah, and pirating music with torrents was the thing.
Did you do that?
I did. Did you?
Did you do just music or music and movies?
Just music. Movies were too much.
Yeah, I just did music. I wanted, like, every mashup and every remix that was out there. I wanted to build a library of them, because I figured one day you'll be able to hear all the normal songs.
Yeah.
But these may disappear, you know, like, if somebody doesn't put them up on another platform.
I mean, a lot of what I downloaded, I can never find anywhere.
But you have it? Is that why it took 48 hours to transfer from
one back to another? Oh, yeah, I have lots of music. Do you imagine how much money I would have spent at the record store?
So you basically stole from your favorite artist?
No, because Bjork, Radiohead, I buy their CDs. I support, and I go to their concerts.
True.
But the rest of the people... I don't care.
You don't know her.
What about in politics? What was happening at that time?
Well, President Trump announced his candidacy for President of the United States. Dark. The beginning of a dark era.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton, can you imagine? She got in trouble for sending official emails on a private server. And that happened like the first day that this bozo was in office.
Yeah.
And, like, so many atrocities have happened, and it's like,
I know.
What are you gonna do?
Double standard.
It's so beyond that. It's crazy.
Well, in celebrity news, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner divorced after 10 years of marriage because he was allegedly having an affair with a nanny. And also, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale also split because he was getting fresh with the nanny.
Do you know what happened with that?
What?
Did you hear the story? They
spill the tea, Wendy Williams.
His iPhone was paired. The photos on his iPhone were paired with photos on an iPad.
Mm.
And so one day, the kids were like looking through photos on the iPad, and it was him and his and the nanny,
yeah,
like naked, and you know, he didn't realize that that the photos were being shared. Wow. And Gwen Stefani found them.
Well, that became known as Nanny Gate. So, you know, this...
Did you make that up?
No, this was so, you know, everyone was breaking up around that time.
Okay. And then on the tech side, VR was hit the market, and it was all the rage for
Hit it and quit it.
What was happening in the world of movies?
Well, it was a killer year for critically acclaimed films like The Revenant, Spotlight, The Danish Girl, and the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Have you seen all of those?
No, not The Danish Girl.
I saw The Danish Girl.
Oh, did you like it? Was it?
Yeah. It was good. It was really well acted. All right, so let's go into the songs that are on this album. We're just going to kind of run through them and share a little insight about each one.
Yeah, because this album is a journey in grief, chronicling the doubt, uncertainty, loss, sadness, anger, healing, and so on. All those feels, you know? So we got Stone Milker, the
first
opening
song
track
on the album.
Yeah, so it's a, I'd say it's like a slow, defeated, meditative track. It's one of those, the most fragile and vulnerable sounding songs she has ever made, and you could feel her start to break down from the start.
It has a classic Bjork opener with lush strings representing a plea for emotional respect.
Mm. So it's like the balance of science and sentiment.
Okay.
Well, then that comes into the next song, Lion Song. And it's hopeful self-talk. Maybe he will come out of this. She demands clarity. That's about uncertainty.
And then there's his history of touches. Hopeful self-talk. Maybe he'll come out of this. So, like, you know, he'll change or he'll snap out of, like...
Yeah.
Okay. History of touches. It's when nostalgia becomes forensic evidence backed by... And it's backed by muted electronic detonations.
I like that one.
Yeah, me too. What's the next song?
Black Lake. Ooh. Mm. This is the centerpiece area. And Aria? And it's calm, but devastating phrases. Folk ballad storytelling. The accent thickening as she returns to her roots.
It's like slam poetry.
The glowing, shining rocket ending is a key turning point. It is. It's going through everything.
The next song is Family, where the Haxan Cloak brings seismic percussion.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like saying the death of my family. So this turns toward her daughter and builds a musical bridge using overdubbed voices.
She turns towards her daughter? How do they know?
Because in the lyric, she...
Oh, she says, I turned toward my daughter?
No, she mentions the daughter. The family now, because in the previous songs it was more geared towards partner, and now it's like, we also have a daughter.
Yeah, but why is it, are they saying she turned towards her? How do they know? Her daughter could have been down the hall. She's like, hey.
She's turning her focus in the album towards her daughter.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like...
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the journey. And now we have Adam Dance, and that's the duet with Anthony Hegarty, known as Anoni now.
Yeah. the song has been described as cosmic compassion, ego dissolving, spiritual wavelength tuning. Who made that up? Cynic. Did you make that up?
No. Oh. Cynic scoff, but the arrangement makes the case. Well, and then you have the last song that ends on quicksand.
And this song is dancey with uplifting energy, and it has a nice drum and bass driving it.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's like kind of hopeful, you know? In the lyrics, yeah. She embraces her broken state and she finds the beauty in it. It also acts as a feminist anthem for women to just be more optimistic and hopeful, and, you know, so you can pass that on to your children.
Thank you very much.
So, she says, when we're broken, we are whole. And then you have the abrupt ending, because that healing is still in progress. It's not just, like, overnight, you know?
Yeah, never is. Unless you really didn't care.
Yeah.
Did Volnakura offer many therapeutic listens in times of heartbreak for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, when did you first hear this album?
When it came out, I was living in L.A. Mm. It felt very L.A. to me for some reason.
Okay.
Because I was, like, in, you know, a few relationships, and it seemed like they just weren't doing it for me.
Oh.
So.
Were you living in Eagle Rock?
Yes.
Oh.
What was your first time you heard it?
Okay.
Did I open my lollipop?
Yes. Well, ironically, my ex gave it to me for Valentine's Day. And then a few months later, we broke up. And,
do you think it was, like, foreshadowing by on his part?
No, I think...
Oh, did you break up with him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty much.
How'd you do it?
Text. No. I don't...
Did you give a reason or did you say this isn't working?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of breakup are you now?
I'm a bug out. Break up. I don't want to deal with anything. Not a crumb. I'm just out.
That makes so much sense. Okay, so we're going to close the cocktail. Oh, go on. Sorry, what else is happening?
I don't know. I forgot. I was going to say something, but I forgot. So...
where you were when you first heard this, your ex gave it to you, you listened to it, and then you broke up. Did you listen to it after you broke up?
Oh, I used to do this thing where I would play one song per month. Because I wanted the album to last.
Oh, that's really cute. But you'd hear the whole thing and then do one song at a time?
No, I...
Like, just, you really kept all the other songs?
Yeah, secret. Secret. So, I had something to look forward to when the month changed.
Wow. That is a lot of self-restraint for a...
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, so...
Actually, it makes sense.
I don't know, I was just like, Bjork broke up with her boyfriend, I'm gonna break up with my boyfriend.
Oh, no.
I'll do anything she does just to become a better artist. I just want to be as good as her.
You're killing relationships one song at a time.
She's telling everyone to leave your man, girl.
Go find your light.
How Stella got her groove back.
I just imagine AI with Angela Bassett with Bjork's face. It's just going and lighting that car on fire.
Yes. Exactly.
Can we make that?
Yes.
Okay.
Note to self.
If you were to have a cocktail while you put this record on the record player, what would you have?
It's obviously the Black Lake.
Why?
Because that's inspired by her 10-minute song, Black Lake, Centerpiece. Which is about...
Is that her last name?
Yes.
Black Lake Centerpiece. No one invited her to the party.
That sounds like a good centerpiece. It's about the core of the wounds and despair. So that's dark aged rum, black walnut.
What does the black walnut represent?
The broken heart. Oh, the bitterness and complexity of the album.
And then we have Sinar. And what does that represent?
No, it's Chinar.
Chinar, yes. Thank you. Damn, you could have whispered
it. That's Chinar, honey.
You could have whispered it.
So uncouth.
And what does the Chinar represent?
The electronics and glitch of it all.
And then we have Sweet Vermouth. And what is that?
The strings and the drama. Oh, that's probably why I like Sweet Vermouth. We had good vermouth.
We did. And
which is the best one? Because they have two types. The natural ones and the one with the herbs.
Oh, yeah, the herbs.
And then there was another one.
That was, like, organic.
Yeah, so...
I like the one that was really flavorful.
Yeah.
Good times. And then a single brandy cherry with a little bit of the syrup. And what does that represent?
It's like a garnish. It's like the wound. You know?
I know.
And some blood.
And oh, look at you. It's a picture of your dad with Bjork.
Oh, all right.
No, you look like a mix between...
A midget and a hidget.
What?
I don't know.
Bjork is like the Tinkerbell flying around.
And she has three arms. So she looks like a spider.
I think this should be the podcast image.
Yeah.
All right, what are we doing next episode?
Stone Milker.
Lion Song.
History of Touches.
Black Lake.
And Family.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We had fun. Hopefully you did too.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Ali.
Hey, Andre. I think. Hey, yo.
Name them all off.
Everyone in America and France. That's it. We don't care about anyone else.
Good night.
Good night. No, how do you feel about this album, though?
Why, is it too short? You're trying to...
No. Are you excited about this album?
I am. All right. I actually like this album a lot.
You ready to get into it? About, you know...
Dig into it like we always do, song by song, track by track.
All right.
No, I feel like albums like this that are personal have a lot more. It's almost like doing a soundtrack for a film, because you know how like a film has a narrative, and this album has a narrative.
Yeah.
So, peace out.
All right. Bye.
Oh, tell me about your look before we go.
Well, I got my Annie wig on. I got my metallic tattoos on my face. I got my yellow tank shirt. And I got my short 70s shorts.
That's about it.
And I don't know. What about your look?
I have a red Instimpy shirt, some neon turquoise shorts. That's it. Some headphones. Some sass.
Alright, you ready to have some dirt and tea spilt next episode?
Okay. About Bjork?
And you and me?
Oh, housewife style.
Yes.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.